Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much, as always, for being here and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. I know I had promised T. Higgins for today. Unfortunately, I did not make it all the way through my T. Higgins watch, so didn't want to half-ass it and wanted to give you guys the full experience and takeaway. So we'll get to T. Higgins a little bit later this week or next week at the latest, but we'll definitely get there eventually. Instead, today we're going to be going over something that I've been wanting to talk about for some time. I've talked about it a little bit on Bleach Report and on some of the one of the live chats that we did, I should say, but we're going to be going over the first round issues that Green Bay has had as of late, and specifically not getting the premium players that you're hoping for when you're making these selections in the first round. And I've seen a lot of people throw out different philosophies of what Green Bay needs to change. Is it that they're going for too many high relative athletic score guys? Is it that they're going for too many project players? We'll break that all down and see what needs to happen in order for Green Bay to make better selections in the first round and get some of those true impact players into the roster, onto the team, and hopefully elevating this team to an entirely different level. Before we get there, huge shout out to Steward Sandstorm and Mark Dunn for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate you guys a ton. Also, a couple other news and notes from around the Packers sphere. Packers, I guess, lost out on another defensive line coach, Aaron Whitecotton, somebody that the Packers were seemingly interested in, was in their list of interviewees, has gone to the Dallas Cowboys. Remember, Casey Rogers, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line coach, has gone on to the Detroit Lions already. Those seemingly were kind of the top two names that we kind of knew about in the clubhouse as to potential options for that defensive line job. I know everyone's getting a little itchy and antsy about who's going to be the defensive line coach, who's going to be the quarterback's coach. And let me start by saying here, I do get it, because these are two very important hires for this franchise. Normally, when you're talking about big hires, it's head coach. Obviously, if like GM opens things, something like that, but head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, those are kind of the main ones. Every single coach matters to some extent, right? And they all have their roles, they all have their responsibilities, and they all have their impact on the team. But right now, Jordan Love's at a very interesting crossroads, is the wrong word for his career, but sort of just this open Pandora's box of, or mystery box is probably the better way to put it, of who is he? Is he somebody that is capable of truly being an elite, elite quarterback in this league? I don't think that's out of the question. Is he somebody that is just going to be somewhere around the 15th to 20th best quarterback in the league? I don't think that's out of the question. Is he likely just this inconsistent, really good sometimes, not so great other times quarterback? Or is he somewhere outside of the realm of even those? I think we don't have a great answer for that based on the two seasons of play that we've seen so far. I lean towards the higher side of it, and that he is going to be a legitimately good starter for Green Bay. But even if I say that, even if I say legitimately good, is that 10th? Is that 12th? Is that 8th? Like, where does that fall? And I think there is a really important season upcoming for Jordan to sort of better define who he is, and for just everyone to get a better feel for what Jordan can become as the true franchise quarterback in Green Bay. So I think this is a very interesting season for Jordan. And because of that, you want to put somebody in that quarterback coach job that is going to get the absolute most out of him. And then on the defensive line, we know that Green Bay has already invested in Rashawn Gary and in Kenny Clark. We'll see if they bring back a TJ Slayton, but Carl Brooks is somebody that I still think has a lot of upside. Devontae Wyatt, they've invested in. LVN, they have invested in. Kingsley Enagbare. Brenton Cox showed some flash this past season. There's a lot of investment already into that room, and they're not getting the full ROI on it. So you better find a defensive line coach who can get the most out of that. And I think that's why these two hires are so important. What I will say, and Aaron Nagler, I know, pointed out something similar on Wednesday, is that at this time last year, or when Jeff Hafley was hired, we didn't even know that he was one of the names that was in the running. I remember I did, I think, a 64, maybe it was a 32. It was either a 32 or a 64 coach tournament. I think it was 32. 32 different potential defensive coordinator candidates who people would want to be the defensive coordinator in Green Bay. And we did brackets and we did all the, you know, the little matchups and everything and advanced the winners and got to our final champion. I don't remember who it was, if I'm being honest, but we got to that final champion and Jeff Hafley's name was not even in the 32 names that were potentially being bandied about and considered and things like that. So you were seeing some of these defensive coordinators get hired and you're thinking, oh, there goes one of the Green Bay's candidates, when in all actuality, they had another one in mind that wasn't even on the list of ones that we were discussing. And it could easily be the same thing here for the defensive line coaches. They could have somebody in mind that they absolutely love, that they're going to be able to bring in, and it's going to change over this defensive line. And we don't even know what name. Remember, this is not just the pros that they can consider here. They can go to college. They could go get somebody who's a defensive coordinator in college that wants to get to the NFL and will take a defensive line coach. Who knows? So there's so many different possibilities. And I am faithful and hopeful that they're going to find a defensive line coach that's going to be able to get the most out of these players. Same thing with quarterbacks coach. And it could just be Sean Mannion. The other thing that I'll say here is, I know people are all worked up of like, they didn't get these guys. But the first thing, I would be willing to bet you, the vast majority of you, if not all of you, didn't even know who Casey Rogers or Aaron Whitecotton were prior to like a week ago. You probably had no idea who they were. Because I'll be transparent, I had no idea who either of them were prior to about a week ago. So to get worked up about Green Bay not getting one of these guys that we didn't even hardly know existed a week ago, we're probably going to be okay. Let's just put it that way, all right? And the other thing that I'll say too is that they might have both of these positions hired already, and we just don't know it. They take forever to announce these things from time to time, and sometimes they're just like, oh, here's our whole new staff, and we hired five new people. And, you know, like you get this PR breakdown all at once. They could have him hired, you know, in who they want, and we don't even know it. Sean Mannion might just be the quarterback's coach already. He might know it, and we do not. The other thing is, it's possible that Green Bay wanted Aaron Whitecotton, right? And he was their top candidate. And for whatever reason, Whitecotton just decided to go to Dallas. Maybe Dallas was paying more. Maybe he had friends and family in the Dallas area. We don't know what all goes into that, but maybe they were waiting on that response. He was their number one candidate, and now they just got word that he's going to Dallas, and they might need to reopen their candidate pool to figure out who they now want to bring in to potentially fill that spot. So these are also things of like, they could have felt like, hey, we've got our guy. We've got the best offer out there. He's going to come to Green Bay. And then if he pivots to Dallas, and you don't have that guy anymore, you have to inherently make a pivot as well and go in a different direction. So it is possible that Casey Rogers and Aaron Whitecotton were their top two targets and they missed on both. They may have not have interested. They may have not even made an offer to either of them. We just don't know. So I think let's pump the brakes a little bit. I'm not overly concerned. Let's see who they come up with and ultimately hire for both of those spots before we jump to any conclusions. And right now, we'll see if Matt can find two really good coaches to fill that role. And my guess is he's going to, and they're going to be two new people in that position that we're probably excited about and are at least hopeful that they can unlock the talent in the quarterback and defensive line rooms, respectively. Really quick, Xavier McKinney said that Quay Walker can be the best linebacker in the NFL and shouted him out. It's an interesting conversation. I would love to have Xavier McKinney on and just say, hey, let's see some of these plays of what you're seeing out on the field that make you believe this. And there's always going to be that disconnect. And I'm not saying he's wrong by any stretch of the imagination. I'm saying, you know, my outlook on it from watching every play has been different. And I think PFF's in that boat. And I think a lot of fans just watching it on the, you know, every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever it is, going through and watching it on TV are saying, yeah, I haven't really seen that. It's kind of been the same story with Josh Myers last year in 2023, where the Packers and the offensive line coach and all these people are saying, man, yeah, Josh Myers playing best football of his career. And then you throw on the tape and you're like, are you sure? Like, and I know a part of that is the communication and the trust with Jordan and getting everyone aligned correctly, meaning Josh Myers along the offensive line. And I'm sure a lot of that is Quay too, a linebacker who's calling the plays, has the green dots, getting everyone aligned correctly, and then has all that raw talent, right? And in the middle of last year, for that three-game-ish stretch before the injury, we saw some phenomenal Quay Walker. A first time, in my opinion, that we saw some extended, you know, game in, game out, really consistent, really great Quay Walker. And if you get that Quay Walker, take that, you know, 3-week-ish Quay Walker that played unbelievable for those 3 weeks and expand that into a 17-game season, hell yeah. Hell yeah, he's going to be in that conversation for one of the best linebackers in the league. But he's got to show that. He's got to show that he can do that consistently. I love it from X. And here's the thing. If you're Quay Walker, I think one of the things that he kind of needs a little bit sometimes is just that confidence. He has all the raw talent. If you're getting a detective, you know, or police sketch artist, and you're like, if you were to give them the dimensions, the height, the weight, the speed, everything that you wanted for the perfect NFL off-ball linebacker in 2025, that picture is going to look, if not exactly like Quay Walker, pretty darn close. Like, he is the picture perfect, you know, sculpture of what you want that linebacker to be. So I think if you have the traits and you've got all the talent and you can call the plays and everything like that, there's a lot of upside there. But I think when Quay is playing his best, he's confident and he's flowing to the football. And when he's not, it's usually he's unsure. He's kind of moving around and bebopping and like not exactly sure what to do. And then all of a sudden the play is somewhere and he's somewhere else. So I think if this is just Xavier giving Quay that confidence of like, hey, I believe in you and think that you can be the best linebacker in the league, that's probably awesome for Quay to hear. It might be exactly what he needs to hear to go out this season and say, I'm going to play fast. I'm going to make mistakes from time to time, but that's okay. And last but not least, Bill Belichick said that you should rename the Lombardi Trophy after Tom Brady. And that is one of the stupidest, most ridiculous things that I have ever heard. I love Bill Belichick. He's an unbelievable coach, an all-time great. My friend, that is the Lombardi Trophy. It should never be changed from the Lombardi Trophy. There are certain things that are sacred. That is one of them. It should not be messed with unless you're going to remake that trophy and make that football on the top of it deflated. And then if you want to do that, then you can have the Brady Trophy. I even say that in jest because I don't really care about the whole Deflategate thing. And I had a lot of respect for Brady and the Patriots and everything that they did. So I'm mostly saying that in jest. But if you want to make a new Brady Trophy with the deflated football at top, here's the compromise. The Lombardi Trophy goes to the winner. The deflated Lombardi or Brady Trophy goes to the runner-up of the Super Bowl. That's our compromise that we can make there, Bill Belichick, and I will be happy with that situation. All right, let's get to our main topic for today, and that is Brian Gutekunst and his first-round issues, his first-round flaws, his first-round problems, however you would like to define it. And is there an issue with the philosophy? Does he need to change it? Let's go through all of it today. In order to understand what these first-round issues are, we have to define the problem first and foremost. And the way that we can do that is by looking at what the Packers have done in the first round under Brian Gutekunst as general manager. Now, I would make a pretty strong argument that this started pretty dang well for Goody. First round, Jaire Alexander in 2018. Not only getting Jaire Alexander in 2018, but having this unbelievable masterclass of a move where you're at the top of the draft, you move back to the end of the draft, pick up a first round pick, use a third round pick to get up in the top of the draft again and still get Jaire Alexander. You picked up a first round pick in Jaire Alexander, and then you picked up a first round pick the following year by only giving up a third round pick. That was an unbelievable move by Goody. And Jaire Alexander, as of late with all the injuries and things like that, maybe not quite the same player, has had some, you know, disagreements with the organization. All those things have come later, but the initial draft pick and what he brought to Green Bay and the talent that he had at corner, there's no denying that. That was a fantastic move and pick and just entire process from Goody. The rest of that draft, not so great, right? But the first round pick and what they did trading back, getting Jaire, phenomenal. 2019, Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage. We can make the argument of, hey, Brian Burns was there, Montez Sweat was there. Those have been better players to go after rather than Rashawn Gary. Those are fair arguments. A lot of people wanted Burns at the time, and instead they went with Gary. I think the ROI on Burns has been better since really day one and through now than it's been on Gary. But I understand that Burns wasn't exactly the type of edge player that fit that system when Joe Barry was probably Pettine, when Pettine was there at the time. And they needed to get that bigger, more physical defensive end. So it made sense. And I think if you would argue up to the ACL, Rashawn Gary was looking like a very good draft pick up until that time. Maybe not quite living up to that top, 12 draft pick status, but really freaking close. And up until this day, I would still say that's a good draft pick. Not a home run, not a game changer, not somebody that's going to completely alter your franchise, but you're not too upset with getting Rashawn Gary with that pick. Even up until today, I would at least argue that. Darnell Savage did not work out. That was unfortunately a pick that did not go the way that anyone wanted it to. You did get a five-year starter out of him, so that's not nothing, but it was a below average five-year starter, and that's what makes it a little bit worse. Jordan Love, this whole conversation that we're about to have, you can take it, you can ball it up, and you can throw it into the river or out the window or whatever you want to do if Jordan Love becomes a all-pro caliber top five quarterback in the league. Everything that Goody has done in the first round, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, if you get Jordan Love with those picks and he becomes a legitimate, unbelievable franchise quarterback, everything else is water under the bridge. Like, you nailed that. That's a you know, multiple draft saver right then and there. So there's still that upside for Jordan that if he hits, all of the things that we're talking about are pretty much a moot point, because it, just getting Jordan at that level is worth it in and of itself. But Jordan, they take in 2020. I think you would still argue today, good pick. You can argue like was it the right pick at the right time when you still had Rodgers, and then you gave Rodgers the extension, then you have to trade Rodgers away. And then, yeah, I get all of that, but I think pretty thankful that Jordan Love is the quarterback in Green Bay right now, that they have that franchise QB, that they've got him signed to the extension. And now he just needs to play a bit better to kind of live up to that. I think he will in 2025 or yeah, 2025. Next up is Eric Stokes in 2021. First year rookie season, pretty darn good. Second year looked awful prior to the injury, got injured, missed the season, played, I think, two games the following year with a variety of injuries. And then this past year, got the starting spot handed to him in the preseason and to start the season, and then just faded to the point where I think he played one snap in the final two games this year and was basically completely out of the rotation. And the writing is on the wall that Stokes will not be back. So that's a tough one. Quay Walker, well, if it's up to Xavier McKinney, he might be the best linebacker in football. And what we've seen from our point of view, it has not been quite that level, right? He's been okay at times, inconsistent, but has not lived up to that first round moniker. At least I think most would argue. Devontae Wyatt, I like what Devontae Wyatt brings to the table, but there's been injuries. He was supposed to be this plug and play defensive tackle that was ready to go from day one, was 24 years old as a rookie out of Georgia, was really dominant in the SEC, and he came to Green Bay and didn't do a whole heck of a lot to begin with. I think there's a good player there, but it's not the super big time impactful defensive tackle that you were hoping for. And I think overall has been decently disappointing so far with what you were maybe expecting going into that pick. LVN, better run defender this year, but 2 years of really off pass rush, just doesn't have a pass rush plan, doesn't have a move set, and he's reliant upon his athletic ability and his effort to get to the quarterback, which he's got great effort and great athletic ability, but it's not enough to be a consistently great pass rusher. And we haven't seen that. Not only that, not a great pass rusher, not a good pass rusher, a below average pass rusher. Run defense was better, but you have certainly not got the ROI on that selection. And then Jordan Morgan, I'm actually bothered by the fact that everyone's like, I can't believe they took, you know, Jordan Morgan. He's already a bust and he didn't even play. And what, if you remember, right? If anyone has the ability to take a victory lap here, I was on the don't take Jordan Morgan in the first round. He's like a mid second round grade. Not what I would have done in that situation. I could easily be like, ha, told you. Can we give this guy a second? He was going to be the starting right guard for this team. Like, he was going to be the starting right guard. Maybe Sean Ryan was going to rotate a little bit, but at midway through camp, it looked like that was just going to be Jordan Morgan's spot. And he had injuries in camp, injured the shoulder, re-injured the shoulder, re-injured the shoulder again. And it was just a little bit of a snake bit season for him. But let's give him the opportunity to get out there. He's in all likelihood going to be a starting offensive lineman for the Packers in 2025, for better or for worse, and could end up being a starter from there on out for the foreseeable future. So let's pump the brakes a little bit on Jordan Morgan. And before we get into the bust conversation, anything like that, he's barely had an opportunity to play. So let's give that a little bit more time. But that's been Goody's full first-round picks. Jair, Rashawn, Savage, Love, Stokes, Walker, Wyatt, LVN, and Jordan Morgan. Patrick Mahomes and KC, Saquon Barkley in Philly, we have our championship matchup all set. Who's going to bring home the Lombardi? Will KC three-peat? Will Saquon run wild? Either way, you absolutely cannot miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. And here's the big thing. Prize Picks is giving away a free pick where one of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw for 1 yard to win. If you're correct on at least one other stat projection, you can win real cash. And that's not even all. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. And don't forget that Prize Picks doesn't end with football season either. Think LeBron will have more than 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists? Think Donovan Mitchell will score more than 20.5 points? Prize Picks is the best place to win real money all year long. This week, I'm going to keep an eye on Giannis in Milwaukee, Steph for Golden State, and I'm going to look for Mikko Rantanen to make an impact with his new team following that huge blockbuster hockey trade. And don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. The core issue here has been the picks as of late, right? Stokes, Walker, Wyatt, LVN, and to a lesser extent, Jordan Morgan. If you're looking at this team in 2024, you can make a very strong argument that the reason that Green Bay is not achieving at a higher level is because those first round picks have not lived up to expectations, that they were not able to find impact players with those picks, especially with guys like, especially LVN, who you're taking in the top, 12, 13 of the draft. You got to be able to hit on those picks. They have to be impact players. Look at Jared Verse this past year for the Rams. It's an impact player from day one. Those are the type of players. And Christian Gonzalez, yes, was sitting right there for the Packers on that pick. There were opportunities to do that. And when you have Stokes, Walker, Wyatt, LVN, and Morgan, that's a big time problem when you're not getting any of those players, in part due to some injuries, playing at a level that, Stokes can't get on the field. Walker's a starter. Wyatt's a rotational defensive lineman. LVN's a rotational defensive end. And then Morgan was likely going to be a rotational guard. You were basically looking at Quay Walker being the only legitimate, true, full-time starter of that entire group this past year. So that's not good enough. And it's not just that. You got to hit one, right? You got to hit one. Imagine if just one of those hit at a high level. Imagine if Eric Stokes was a Christian Gonzalez-esque corner, right? That you're really fantastic corner on the outside. Imagine Quay Walker was a, who do we want to even say here? Fred Warner or Roquan Smith, that would change this defense. Imagine if Devontae Wyatt was like a Braden Fisk for the Rams this past year as a rookie and then continued to improve from there. I could go over better three techniques too, but even just a really great player like that, you would probably take something like that, right? What if LVN was, again, what Jared Verse did this season? What if Jordan Morgan was a big-time starting guard? If you hit on one of those, it probably feels a whole heck of a lot different. But not hitting on any of them, at least to a high level, at least to this point, is a bigger issue. And in order to kind of go through this further, we have to then look at what is the philosophy in Green Bay? What is Goody doing to get to these conclusions that, hey, it's not working and you're getting good players at times, but you're not getting these elite level players. And I think by looking at this, we have to go through some of those, I think, falsities that are maybe out there. I've seen people say, hey, you can't have, it's enough of the draft and develop players, enough of the project picks. You can't do this anymore. And I did a video, I think 2 years ago, that said draft and develop is dead. I'm right there with you. I get it. I really do. I think there's a level of where the CBA is at that, yeah, maybe taking some guys that are going to be these developmental players isn't the way to go. But since 2001, which is kind of the problem time, Eric Stokes was a starter year one, rookie season. In fact, his best season as a pro. And he looked good. He looked like he was going to be a good player. There was a little bit of developmental projection in there, but he was a legitimate starter from pretty much the word go, especially once Jaire Alexander got hurt that year and then basically took over as the team's number one corner for the rest of the season. Quay Walker started from day one. Definitely some project and projection there for Quay, but he was a day one starter. Devontae Wyatt was supposed to be the most NFL ready defensive tackle in that draft and ready to come in and make a huge impact right away. It's just that he didn't. Yeah, LVN was definitely a project pick, right? To some extent, to a large extent. So I'll give you that. Jordan Morgan, like I said, was probably going to come in and start from day one as well. So it wasn't just like, you can't just point to that and say like, look at all these project picks that they're taking. There's some in there, but that has not been the big, huge, major issue here. All right. So it's not just project picks, draft and develop players. They've got different types of first round picks and they just haven't worked out. You shouldn't have a problem in general with draft and develop if it works. I don't have a major issue. Like if LVN next year, right? Let's take LVN for example. If LVN puts in 2 years of rotational defensive end work, first year's kind of a redshirt season and you're really kind of getting your feet wet. Second season is much better in run defense, but the pass rush still isn't there. If this year in 2025, he breaks out in a significant way and becomes that Jared Verse or whoever you want to put into that spot and becomes a great pass rusher, I will have no issues that was a draft and develop pick and those first 2 years were a little bit tough at times. No issue whatsoever. If that's what happens, great pick. Great, great pick. But you got to get him to that point. And as of this past season, he showed no real, you know, high level ability that's right around the corner. There was no sign of that. So I don't care if it's a player that might take a couple of years to develop. By all means, go ahead and do that. But they better develop. And if they don't, it becomes a very major problem. And the ones that they maybe have had is maybe those project players like an LVN up until this point have not developed the way that you have wanted them to. I also will say that you shouldn't have a problem with taking high-end athletes. We'll go over why as we get to exactly what Green Bay is doing with their philosophy, which is kind of our next topic here, our next point. In order to be successful at drafting, I do believe, and I'm a pretty firm believer, you have to have some overarching philosophy. You can't just go into the draft saying, you know what we should do? We should draft the best player. That's what our philosophy is going to be. Okay, you're going to want to use some level of analytics and scouting ability and have a philosophy for what type of players that you want to draft, what players that you're going to eliminate from your board. You better have something. Generally, you would want that backed up by analytics to some extent as to how you're going to go about attacking that draft. If you're just taking the 1,000+ players and saying, all right, we're going to put all of our scouting reports available for these 1,000 players, and then we're going to stack them 1 to 1,000, man, good freaking luck. Good freaking luck. It's just not going to work. You better have some sort of formula and philosophy to narrow that down, to lower your scope, and to get a better lens on the ones that have the better opportunity to succeed. And so you can't just go into the draft being like, who do we like? It's not that simple. You have to have some sort of approach to how you're going about doing this, or you're probably going to be picking from the wrong pool of players and not having the level of success that you should. Here's the thing. Green Bay has done exactly what they should be doing from a process standpoint, in my opinion, at least. Let's make it relatively simple from a number standpoint. Let's say you start with 1,000 players that are draft eligible, right? Just make it a nice, easy round number. 1,000 players. If you look at the history of all pros and Pro Bowl players, go and look at it. Those relative athletic scores, so many of them. And I want to be clear here. I don't think Green Bay uses relative athletic scores. I think they have their own formula, right? Their own athletic testing numbers. But the high-end athletes, or I should say the all-pro players, are almost always high-end athletes. You're talking about 8s or 9s or better in the relative athletic scores. Almost always at every position, it's almost always the case. And you might find a 7, you might find a 6, you might find a 5-something. Almost never are one of those players below a 5. It's really, really rare. Are there exceptions to it? Absolutely. But the exceptions are huge. And what you want to do in that case is you basically want to say, hey, we're trying to get the best possible available players in here. And we want to go and get somebody that has the best opportunity to be an all-pro or a Pro Bowl player. That's what we're searching for. That's what we're hunting for. And the analytics and the history would tell you, you want that, you better go get the high-end athletes. You better get the freaks, because they're going to have a better opportunity to go out and perform at a really high level. That's not to say that you can't have technique. That's not to say you can be a bad football player. There's a lot of great athletes that just can't ball, right? But if you are going to try to get a All-Pro or Hall of Fame player or like Pro Bowl player, you better be looking at the freak athletes because you're going to have a much better success rate if you're picking those players. So that inherently is a good thing. So what you're first off doing is you're taking your athletic testing and your athletic thresholds, and you're taking those 1,000 players and you're narrowing it down. And you're, let's just say, you know, you again, for a nice easy round number, you get through all the athletic testing and you end up with 200 players that are within those athletic thresholds, and you have 800 players that did not meet the thresholds. And by the way, what will happen is Green Bay is going to fall, their scouts are going to fall in love with a few of those players, and they'll take a handful. They'll take a handful and say, these are probably exception type picks, but we like them so much, we're going to put them in our pool still. But what happens is you take those 800 players, and let's just say there's five players of those 800 who are going to go on to have unbelievable All-Pro, Pro Bowl, or Hall of Fame careers. You are trying to fish in a pool or in a lake of 800 fish, and only five of them are edible. Only five of them are edible, and there's 800 fish in that lake. That's not a lake that I want to go fishing in. 795 of them are carp, are unedible fish or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a fisherman. You can probably tell. But you are some inedible fish that nobody wants. 795 of them are that, and five of them are beautiful sturgeons or what. Again, I don't even know what I'm talking about here. You get the point. So that's not a lake that I really want to go fishing in. That doesn't sound like a ton of fun. If I do catch something, it's probably not going to be great. Then I've got this remaining group of 200 players where, let's say, 40 of them have the ability to go on to be maybe not Pro Bowl, like high-end starters, Pro Bowl players, All Pros, or Hall of Famers, right? 40 out of 200. Man, I feel a lot better about those odds. So I'm going to go analytically, and I'm going to fish in the pond where I can find 40 of the 200. I still have to, you know, make sure that I'm not taking one of the 160, but I'm going to try to take one of the 40 out of this pond of 200 rather than that huge ocean of 800 where there's only five good fish in that entire ocean. And I could go exception hunting, and somebody's going to take one of those five players eventually, but I'm going to let other teams go try to dredge through the 800 players to try to find the five guys that might be in there that are worth salvaging. Instead, I'm going to go through the Golden Lake that has all these amazing players, and I'm going to try to find the right ones out of this group of 200. And that's going to leave me with, you know, 30, 40 guys that are going to be really, really good. And then you go and take it a step further and you eliminate anyone that's got any major health concerns that are off your board due to health issues. You take away anybody that's not a locker room fit and things like that. And now you've got a list of about 100 to 150 players that are going to fit within your organization that have this ability to hit at a high-end level. And then you stack your board from there on out. From there, utilizing all your scouting prowess that you have within the building, and Goody has surrounded himself with experienced NFL scouts. He's got the NFL scout background. So now you've narrowed it analytically. So this is the best place to fish. And we are going to take all of our scouts and we're going to really narrow it down. And we're going to make sure that we are fishing in the right spot and that we're going to get the right trout, whatever, and go get that guy. That's what we're going to do. And I love that. I love absolutely every part of it. Exactly what they should be doing. It is not something that is just for Green Bay. Multiple teams do this, and you're just narrowing it down, taking it to 100 and 150 players, and then ranking them based on your scouting ability. And again, there's 30, 40 guys in that group of 150 where there's only, you know, maybe a handful of that remaining 850. Where do you want to grab the players from? You're much better off grabbing it from that smaller group of super talented athletes that, if you hit on it, they're probably going to hit at a very high level. It's not just draft the best player. It's not just, hey, take, you know, get rid of taking project players. It's not just, well, it's enough with the relative athletic scores and just take, again, good football players. It's not that simple. It really isn't. And you need to be able to narrow it down and then put those remaining players through that high-end scouting analysis. Now, that's not to say that they don't spend all of their time also taking a look at those other 800 players, because if they see somebody that they think is going to be that exception, they'll add them to the board. Now, Green Bay has not done a great job. Amari Rodgers, I think, was one of those players that they were a little bit out of their standard athletic profile that didn't work out. I think Jay Sternberger was another that didn't work out. So when they have gone exception hunting, it's not worked out great. So you should probably stick to those high-end athletes actually more, not less. And the irony of all of this is that what Goody's trying to do with his philosophy is hit those home runs in the first round, is to get guys that are going to be difference makers. I talk about the Giannis situation all the time in Milwaukee. Milwaukee came to the conclusion that free agents weren't going to come to Milwaukee. And if they even traded for a big time player, sometimes the player would veto that trade or say, no, I'm not going there. Or they would get them there and then they'd play like a year and then they'd demand a trade, or they would, you know, be a free agent and go elsewhere. So they decided, we've got to find a Hall of Famer on our own through the draft. What we're going to do is we're going to take the player with the most upside every single year until we just hit on one. And eventually we'll get one, and then we'll build the franchise around that player. And they took a Joe Alexander. They took a Ejion Leon. They took a Brandon Jennings. They took a Jabari Parker. I think there's probably a couple that I'm missing in there as well. And none of them hit. You know, Brandon Jennings was obviously good for a little bit, but for the most part, they didn't hit on any of them. But in there, they did hit on one pretty big one, literally and figuratively, in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And it completely changed the franchise, won them a championship, and altered everything from a Milwaukee Bucks standpoint. So what I think Goody is also doing is he's trying to take some swings in the first round on different players at different times, yes. But I think LVN, Devontae Wyatt, Jordan Love, Jair Alexander, I think there's been some pretty aggressive home run swings. And I love that. It's exactly what I want him to be doing. Goody can find good players almost anywhere. Like, that's his superpower. What's avoided him has been the great players. Great job getting Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney in free agency. But from a draft standpoint, it's tough to point to anyone on this team and be like, yep, they're an all pro from a player that they've actually drafted in the Goody era. And Jair was, right? And he's probably deserving of that. You know, he was deserving of that accolade, but he's not at that spot anymore. So it's time that Goody's got to figure out something and how they can go about doing that, especially in the first round. And I'll just say one more time, like the formula, the high-end athlete and the super talented player, a little bit more of a project. Edrian Cooper is exactly that. I know he was a second round pick, but he's a freak athlete that was going to take some time to transition. He transitioned quicker, I think, than anyone thought, but he was good to go. And maybe not right away, but he seems like an absolute stud. And they use their same philosophy and approach to finding an Edrian Cooper that they have with some of these misses. Sometimes it's unlucky. It might not even be Goody, right? It could be that he's drafting the right players and just the coaches haven't got the most out of them. It's a little bit tougher, specifically on defense, when you've had multiple defensive coordinators for some of these guys, almost all of them. But, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But the thing that I will say is it hasn't worked well enough, whether that's been a draft thing or whether that's been a development thing. You may have your own theory on that. I think it's probably a little bit of both, but the results aren't good enough. And Goody's going to have to go through and figure out what they got wrong, why there were other picks out there that have succeeded at a much higher level, and they've taken players that have been pretty mediocre, to kind of say the least. That's going to be for Goody. I don't have an overarching, like, this is what they need to do. Goody, listen up. I got your results. I got your solutions right here. I don't have anything like that. I love what they're doing from a philosophical approach. I really do. But when you narrow that funnel and you get to the 150, which I think is 1,000,000% the right thing to do, it's absolutely the right thing to do. But when you get there, you've got to have that discerning scout's eye and that, you know, innate feel for which ones are actually going to turn out. Whether it's in year one or year three, I don't really care. But you need to have some of these guys succeed at an elite level. And that's just not happening. Not only that, but some of these guys not even starting, right? So it is time. It is time for Goody to have an elite level first round pick. And they need it. If they want to really legitimately be that Super Bowl contender, you can't just live in free agency. You can't just find good players on day 2 through 7 of the draft. Your first round picks have to be better. And if they were, we probably are talking about Green Bay having a much better chance to be in the Super Bowl right now and us breaking down Packers Chiefs coming up. Instead, it's a first round exit and a very disappointing end of the season. And to me, a huge part of that is not getting the ROI that you should from those very premium first round selections when Goody's had the chance over the course of specifically, you know, from Eric Stokes in 2021 to Walker Wyatt, LVN, and to a lesser extent, Jordan Morgan over these last few years. Got to be better. It is time. Hopefully this is the year. Drafts in Green Bay, pick number 23, go out, find that elite level talent, add them to your team. And if you can do that, it's going to erase some of the other issues. And hopefully it gets Goody trending in the right direction for his first round picks moving forward. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you as always for joining me. I appreciate you guys so freaking much. Let me just say this. I know there's a lot going on right now everywhere. Nothing, no commentary on any of it. But thank you for being here and just being able to talk sports and talk Packers. And hopefully it's a distraction for anyone that needs a distraction from just a lot of stuff that's going on in the world. That's not even a political thing. I'm not even saying it from that side of things. Just a lot of stuff going on in the world, right? And that can be a financial thing. That can be a personal thing. That can be an illness thing. There's a lot of stuff going on. So I hope that this can be a outlet and a release for anyone that for me. I know that the Packers can be my constant, and regardless of what's going on, I can just come and talk Packers every day. I appreciate the platform for and the ability to be able to do so. I thank you for being here, and hopefully it can be the same thing for those of you who need it as that release, that outlet, and just the escape from the noise and everything else that's going on. So thank you for being here. I appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Allison Tuckwab, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.